Blog Talk Radio.
This the place to come where we all can address the issues, debating different topics, bring friends and family with you. You can say what you want, speak whatever you feel. When Nizzy Nay and Tay in the building,
it's what?
It's real.
Talk Radio.
All right, hello everybody. You are listening to It's Real Talk Radio. I am your host, Misbehave. And we also have tonight Ms. J Styles.
Oh, hi guys. Hi everybody.
Tonight we're going to be talking about developmental milestones. Does your baby measure up? And for those of the people that don't know, developmental milestones are places that your child reaches during their stages of growth. Such things as when do they start talking? When do they start crawling, walking, using the potty? Those are called developmental milestones, and tonight that's what our subject is going to be. Jay?
Yes, ma'am?
Can you tell us a little bit about developmental milestones?
I sure can. They're basically just like what Ms. Pia said. They're those things that parents look forward to as a grown parent, like as a grown child. You're like, oh, when is my baby going to start talking? When is they going to start walking? And if you go online, you can see, like, a lot of people have a bunch of different charts and stuff, and it shows you when to expect these things to happen. So they usually, like, they have some that go to all the way up to when your child is a teenager to an adulthood, and then they have others that go from 1 to 6 months. So,
yeah, I didn't know that you have developmental milestones basically throughout your year, growing years.
Yeah, yeah, they are. I mean, the ones that we look forward to as parents, I don't know about other parents, but I know for me, I'm probably going to be looking up until probably the age of whenever puberty hits, that's probably when I'll stop following them. But as a
really?
Parent, like, I was always, yeah, probably until about puberty, and then I'll probably, like, not saying that I'm looking forward to stop looking for them, but I'll probably be entirely way too busy to be worried about when he should be growing chest hair or something like that.
I'd, like, totally stop looking at them. Like, I have a 9-year-old and a 2-year-old. My 9-year-old, I probably stopped looking at his when he was, like, 6. And my baby, of course, I still look for my baby. He's only 2, but, yeah, I had no idea they, like, reached into teen years.
Yeah, they go super far. But the ones that I'm pretty focused on, because Xavier is 2 years old, so I'm pretty focused on from 2 to 5. And then I don't know what will happen after that. Maybe I'll find out, maybe I won't. But I think after the age of 5, after the age of 3, like, you're looking more towards motor ability, like motor skills, rather than sensory. Like,
yeah.
When you're a baby, you're looking at sensory, like, when is he going to start touching my face? When is he going to start verbalizing? When is he going to start, you know, lifting his head? So you're looking at those when they're, like, from birth until about 3 years. And then after that, it's, like, all about the motor. When are they going to start kicking balls? When are they going to start drawing? When are they going to start being able to draw and, you know.
Right, fine motor skills.
Yeah, and stuff like that. So that's what you're looking for.
On the milestone checklists that I've looked at, and like you said, there's a lot of them online, and there's even some you can print out. The first things people start looking for on this checklist is at 2 months old. And that's when they say people. Babies, well, I guess they are people. Little humans, yes. They begin to smile at people, can briefly calm themselves by bringing their hands to mouth and sucking on their hand. They try to look at you. They coo and make gurgling sounds, turn their head towards sounds. And the cognitively, they pay attention to faces, begin to follow things with their eyes and recognize people at a glance, begin to get bored, and cries and fussy if activity doesn't change. And they can also hold their head up and begin to push up on their, lying on their tummy, and make smoother movements with their arms and legs.
So that was probably like my favorite. That was probably like my favorite month ever. Because he was so responsive. Yeah, because he was so, like, my son was really responsive. Like, whenever I made a sound or, you know, just like you said, with moving their fingers and in front of their face and they turned their face, like, that was probably, like, my most excited month ever. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Now,
of course, I have
more
exciting
stuff. So new to you.
Yeah, of course, I have more exciting stuff to go through now. But, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, like the first couple months, too, because they sleep a lot.
That was, like, the biggest plus ever of having a newborn is that they sleep, like, I think the last thing I read said, like, 16 hours total. They're like kittens. Like,
yeah.
Total, because they wake up, they eat, they do whatever they got to do, and then they go back to sleep. And that's only in the first month, though. Like, I'm not talking about, like, second or third month. Like, first month, they're, like, eat, sleep. Change my diaper, sleep more. Like, that was what I was doing. So, can I ask you, like, did you ever, because I know when my pediatrician, when I first had my baby, he was, like, post a bunch of different, like, what they did in the crib was they posted, like, they put a bunch of pictures around him, and they were, like, optical illusions, like the square coming out or something like that, with different stripes or something like that. Like, did your doctor ever do that? Like, did your nurses ever do that with your kids?
No, but I know what you're talking about. I mean, they always told me at home to use like bright black, white, and red patterns and kind of like geometrical stuff and illusions, like you said, to stimulate their brain. And they look at those the longest.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think the checklist that I had said that one of the biggest things that you'll have in the first month is that they can start seeing black and white patterns. So I think that's why they have you do that.
Yeah, my pediatrician was low rate, I guess. He didn't do anything cool like that. He just said, hey, is he looking at stuff? And I was like, yep.
That's horrible. That is so horrible. Like, they had me pick out the different pictures that I wanted, and we put them all around his crib, so everywhere he was. But my son, he was in the NICU for, like, the first 5 days, so he couldn't, he wasn't moving around, but...
What?
But we were, like, he wasn't able, like, we couldn't place him in different positions so he could see all the different pictures, but, because, he had he had tubes going around him because...
Why? Was he just too early?
He's actually one day off. He's one, like, not even one day, like, one morning. He went all the way until 5 o'clock in the morning.
I was in labor, and
I was delivering. But he had actually, like, when they had to go in and pop my water, so when they did that, he got, I forgot what it's called. It's like... It starts with an M. It's like meconium or
meconium. It's meconium.
Yeah, he swallowed that.
Aww.
He got, like, really sick. And he got it in his lungs, but he got really sick. So
I was so afraid that was going to happen when they broke my water. They had to break my water on both of my babies. And I was so scared that was going to happen.
And see, I had no idea that could happen. Like, I thought that...
You didn't read the baby books?
I try to stay away from them because I'm like a worrier. So everything I read, I'm going to worry about. Like, and I'm going to freak out about it. And
I freaked out about it. There's no shame in my game.
I stayed away from baby books. Like, the only one that I actually read, like, I didn't read it all the way through. I read it halfway and then I quit because I read my grandmother got me What to Expect When You're Expecting. So I read halfway and I was like, not going to do this anymore because I was just like, I needed everything. I needed to get everything prepared and I couldn't get it. So I was having like panic attacks all over the place. I was like, let me just work on making a baby and let it go. So
no, I was like mom that watches everything, that reads everything, freaks themselves out. I used to watch that show, I can't remember the name of it, but it was like all these stories of women who had like had trouble in labor delivery.
Oh my.
Wow. I was like a worrywart too, but I brought it on myself.
Now, one of the biggest milestones that I've ever heard of is like teething. So when did your kids ever get, like, when did they start showing signs of getting teeth?
Oh, God, I actually wrote that down. Where is that paper? God, I moved it. Oh, here we go.
You don't know when your kids started getting teeth, Miss Beef?
I don't remember exactly.
Well, baby started getting teeth at
his first tooth was April 25th. He was born on September 25th. So September, October, November, November, December, December, January, January, February, February, March, March. 7 months.
Wow. Yeah, no, Zay got his teeth at 6 months, and I knew because he spiked the fever, and he was, like, crying constantly. Like, there was no break in between. Like, he cried constantly.
Well, his second tooth came in 4 days later.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
yeah.
Fun fact, your son is 4 days, was born 4 days after, man. I was born on the
21st.
Yeah, I was born on the 21st, so fun fact, everybody out there, you guys can get me presents, and then get Miss B.A.'s child presents. Mm-hmm.
What the hell are you talking about? It can't get my
son
pregnant.
I'm telling the world that they can bring us presents. Like,
oh, I thought you said get us pregnant.
No! Oh, my gosh. No, I was telling the world out there to get all of, like, me and who is that? Which child is that?
Gianni.
Okay, well, me and Gianni will be getting presents from the world because our birthdays are in the same week. That's what I mean.
Oh, my God. I thought you said get us pregnant. I'm like, what are you telling them, your flow chart on here?
Yes, I want them. Yes, we can all do it. No, not doing it. So when did they start to crawl? Like, when did both start to crawl?
They crawled at about 8 months, both of them.
They were 1 month ahead. So by my little checklist, they should be crawling by 9 months.
Yeah, they crawled at right about 8 months.
Well, that's a little. Well, maybe actually started crawling a little bit, like, in the beginning of his 8 months. So he was kind of really early. And then after that, he started walking, and then after that, he started running. Like, he walked for, like, 2 days, and then he started running. And he's never
stopped. Yeah, it was the beginning of his thing, his 8 months, because it was May 23rd. I wrote that down, too.
she misbehaved that mom. Like, I did not write any of Xavier's stuff down, but I promise I'd remember it.
No,
like,
my first son, I knew I wouldn't remember it, so I started writing it down. But then I stopped writing it down after he started crawling.
Oh, wow. Oh, and I forgot to say, like, I don't know, like, I forgot to tell everybody out there that's listening that just because the people are telling you that this is supposed to, just because your pediatrician, oh, he's supposed to be getting teeth right now, or, oh, he's supposed to be walking right now, does not mean that there's something wrong with your child. It could mean that he's just a little bit, because I don't know if anybody knows, I don't know if anybody knows about this. I don't know if you know about it, but you know babycenter.com? Babycenter.com is where I got all my pregnancy research from, like, because you make an account, and it's free. It's a free account, and you make an account, and it gives you, they have an app on the phone, and it's on the iPad, too. They have apps, and you go in, and you type in all your baby's information, your due date, if you've already had the baby, you type in all of their measurements, and it gives you information. Like, when I was pregnant, it gave me what I should be expecting in my stomach. So if I was expecting nausea, I should be expecting around 4 months. Or my baby is this big. Like, your baby is as big as a grapefruit right now, and he's developing.
Really?
Yeah, it's a really, really informative website, and I recommend it to all mothers-to-be, all mothers already. And I think the information goes all the way up until, like, 12 years old. So they'll give you information on 9-year-old, 10-year-old, all of that. It's a really, really good website. And they have pediatricians on there giving out information. They have, like, and then on top of that, like, if you click in the community, if you go on the website and you click in the community, it gives you, I think you have to make a separate login, but you go in there and you can connect with other moms as well, other moms from all over the world. I know this lady from Australia. Like, we're not good friends, but we're like, you know, we talk every now and then. I check on her kids and everything, and she checks on mine. But she's in Australia. Like, we talk all day on there. Like, not all day, but when I do talk to her, it's pretty long.
Is that the site where you got your other friend from, the mommy friend?
Yes, Megan Bethany. Everybody remembers Megan Bethany because she was on the other mommy show. She's actually from Baby Center, too. But I didn't meet her on Baby Center. I met her on Facebook, but she was a part of the Baby Center community. And so am I, and so is, like, everybody. All of my other mommy friends, because I don't have friends in real life. All of my friends are on the Internet. So that is,
really?
That's a way that you can connect. Like, it was my only way, because when I was pregnant with Xavier, like, I was isolated. I isolated myself. Because all of my friends were from high school, and everybody was still partying and getting drunk and everything, and I was out having a baby, so I was completely isolated. So when I found out about BabyCenter.com, like, that is where all of my friends were, because everybody there I could relate to. Like, I was relating to everybody because everybody else had babies. So I literally have no friends in real life. Like, the only ones that I have in real life are from my job, but we don't even hang out. Like, we're friends by work. Association, but I said, Ms. B, I suggest you get on there too. Like, I think you'll love it too because it gives out a lot of information. And I know
I don't have any mommy friends.
Hey, go on there. You'll get phone number. You'll get phone number if you're lucky. If you meet that one person, you'll get phone numbers, emails, whatever. However, that person connects. Like, that's.
But I'm antisocial.
You're not antisocial. Not on BabyCenter.com, but where was I going with that? Well, yeah, they keep track of your milestones, but what I was saying originally is that even though we're telling you, like, oh, my baby is crawling by 6 months or whatever, it doesn't matter because how your baby develops is how your baby develops. So if you really suspect something's wrong, definitely go talk to your pediatrician. We're not doctors. We can't tell you what's wrong with your children. So take them to the doctor if you have any worries.
And also remember that if your child is premature or just even born a little bit early, that makes a difference. That's going to probably put them behind on the developmental chart.
Right,
so,
if they haven't developed all that they needed to really
right,
get
they
it
need
together.
That extra time out of the oven because they didn't have it in the oven. So
right.
They need that extra
time. I know where I was going with that whole baby. Well, I was just saying that I've seen on Baby Center, like, probably every day there's at least 10 posts on the people that are expecting, oh, my baby hasn't done this yet, or people with newborns, they're like, oh, my baby hasn't done this yet, is something wrong? Like,
you should have promoted the show on Baby Center.
I should. Well, you know what, they actually have guidelines against that.
You
can't do that. Yeah, I know. They really do think for that, but you actually, yeah, they have.
Well, we're trying to help them.
Well, they don't know that. All they know is that you have some show that you're trying to get on everybody's nerves by promoting, so we don't want it.
Right.
All they know is that they don't want it, so that's why. So
now we're up to 4 months, the 4 month milestones. What your baby should be doing at this age is smiling spontaneously, especially at people, likes to play with people and might cry when playing stops. Copies some movements and facial expressions like smiling or frowning, begins to babble, babbles with expression and copies sounds he hears, cries in different ways to show hunger, pain, or being tired, lets you know if she is happy or sad, responds to affection, reaches for toy with one hand, uses hands and eyes together, such as seeing a toy and reaching for it, follows moving with eyes from side to side, watches faces closely, recognizes familiar people and things at a distance. Physically, they should be holding their head steady, unsupported, pushing down on legs when feet are on the hard surface. They may be able to roll over from tummy to back, can hold a toy and shake it and swing at dangling toys, bring hands to mouth, and when lying on stomach, push up to their elbows.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of stuff at 4 months.
You said that, just to make sure, you said that they start crying different, right?
Yeah, they start showing the different cries for hunger or pain or, they're wet. They start crying differently, so you can tell the difference.
Okay, because I remember when I was having Xavier, there was this wonderful video that went viral, and I'm trying to see if I can find it so I can put it on my on my page for everybody that's expecting. It was this lady that actually showed everybody, like she showed everybody that there is there's actually like a different. There's actually a way that you can identify the type of crime that's going on. There was a certain, I'm going to find it and put it on my page for everybody that wants to watch it, but it's like, there's a sound, there's certain sounds that they make, and they all, I think she said that all babies make the same sound for each sound, so if they're hungry, there's a certain way that the baby cries that you should be able to identify, and I actually tried it, like, I tested it out, and it turned out to be, like, two-thirds of the truth, because I think she gave, like, maybe three different cries that you can identify with, hungry, tired, and wet, or something like that. And she, like, you know, it was a certain sound that he made that the other baby in the video made. And I was like, oh, so that's that cry. And it opened up my eyes, and it actually, like, helped a little bit. It helped take the stress off a little bit because, now I was listening for that sound. But I wasn't, like, letting him cry so I could identify it. But I was like, oh, I recognize that sound. And it actually helped me. It actually did help me. So I'm going to try to find that video. Not right now, but I'll find it and put it on my page. So it was really cool. I just thought I'd bring that to your attention.
Yeah.
But were all the milestones that you listed, were they accurate for Gianni and Sebastian?
I mean, you know, I don't really know. Because
no.
That forget thing, you begin to take things for granted, such as them crying. In different ways, and, you know, babbling and, you know, reaching for toys. And it all gets mushed together because everything is happening so fast.
Yeah.
There's so many, every month there's so many things happening that you kind of get to lose track.
Right. So Xavier, from what I can remember, he was doing pretty much all of that anyway, like, smiling and stuff. Like, he's been smiling since he was, like, 3 months. So.
Yeah.
He was doing
that. That's
when
they say, oh, it's
job.
Just gas. But I don't believe that.
No, he's really, I thought he was really smiling because he was really happy.
Yeah,
he was smiling in his sleep. I can see that being gas, but he was smiling in his sleep. But
if you do something funny, he smiles at it. It's not gas.
Yeah, no, that's not gas. That's not gas at all. But he was pretty on track. As long as I know that I've been knowing the milestones, I think he's been pretty much on track. Like, when it comes to smiling and lifting his head up, I tracked when he lifted his head up. It was around 2 months. Like, he lifted up his head pretty quickly. But you know who I'm amazed at? I'm amazed at the people who, like, their kids are born smiling or their kids are born with, like, I know this one girl whose child, like, she just had the baby, like, maybe last month, and she was
born with teeth.
Yeah, it was born with one tooth. It was born with one tooth in the front. Yeah, it was so weird, like, because she posted a picture of it, and I was like, oh, my gosh, the tooth is in the front. Like, that was, like, she came out teething. It was so weird.
That is so scary. I think kids that are born with teeth are scary. I do.
What do you feel like when you
I feel
that?
Like they're going to be like chewing off their umbilical cord or something.
Oh my gosh, it was kind of weird to look at because it was like a newborn child with a tooth in her mouth. Like, I don't know.
It's not cool, man.
It's not. It really isn't. But it was interesting to look at because I was like, that's a newborn child with a front tooth. Like,
no, I would be freaking out. If my child
was
born with teeth, I would be freaking out.
Would you let him breastfeed? Would you let him breastfeed?
No. No way.
Because, I mean, like, you know, I don't know.
Well, I didn't breastfeed either of my boys because both times in my pregnancy I got real sick. And I had to stay in the hospital for like 5 days each time because I was still sick. The babies were fine, but I was sick.
So I wasn't allowed to breastfeed them because I was on a bunch of medications. And then once they got the bottle, I didn't go back and say, oh, I'm going to breastfeed. I just was like, whatever.
I think that's a milestone, too. Like, people when, well, I mean, I don't know if we can really call it a milestone anymore because, I mean, I know that at 6 months, everybody's telling me when, like, the pediatrician and the, all the websites that I was looking at and baby center said that when they turn 6 months, they should be able to eat, like, the little pureed foods instead
right.
of just breastfeeding. But,
yeah.
Because, you know, the country's turning into, like, exclusively breastfeeding.com. Like, everybody
oh,
should
God.
Be breastfeeding. It's a thing to do right now. And,
yeah, but
I mean,
it's so exhausting.
It's overrated. I think it's overrated. Because
and then people take it too far. And they, like, breastfeeding their grown kids. Oh, my aunt was breastfeeding her son until he was, like, six.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not even joking.
Is public, or did she, like, or did she
yes.
come and give it to she, like,
towards,
pulled it out, or did
end,
she pump?
Towards, no, she didn't pump.
Oh, my gosh.
She pulled it out. He was, like, 6 years old. I'm not even lying. And he called it numbies. And he would run over and I'm serious. He would run over to her, and at one point he just would run over to her, and he didn't even, like, ask her or anything like that. He just would pull up her shirt and stand there and breastfeed.
I can't. No, I can't even do it. With
it was the most appalling thing I have ever seen in my life.
I don't even blame you. Like, that is really weird. But
she is like a member of the Lalichi League.
I touched my baby for, like, 2 weeks. Like, I mean, my supply went all the way up, and then it just dropped off. Like, I was pumping because, like I said, he was in the hospital for, like, 5 days after I was gone. Like, I was only in the hospital for 4 days. He stayed in for, like, an extra week. Just so,
I know
it
that
wasn't
was scary.
It was horrible, but it wasn't even, like towards the end, he wasn't sick. They just wanted to observe him and make sure he was breathing.
But just not taking him home with you.
Yeah, I was really upset that he couldn't come home because I had all his stuff ready. I had, you know, all his clothes washed and everything. Everything was good. Like, I was ready for him to be in my house. And the fact that I couldn't really kind of made me sad. But I was still pumping. And pumping is, like, the most uncomfortable thing I've ever experienced my whole entire life.
Really?
It hurts. And then trying to figure out how to, you know, because I had to... excuse me. I had tried the electronic pumpers, but they don't, like, they hurt, and then manually pumping hurts. Because it's bad enough that you have this, like, these engorged boobs, like, your boobs are engorged, and they're full.
Oh, they hurt so bad.
Yeah, they're so sore from
being
engorged.
Oh, my God. I used
to
walk around with packs of peas on my boobs. Did you walk around with packs of frozen peas on your boobs?
I did not. I actually just pushed through it. Like, I think I was really just pushing. I think I really, like, because I mean, I don't know what it is about being in pain. Like, we're weird. Like, I don't take too much pain, but if I'm in pain, I don't even worry about it. Like, I just sleep it off. But I don't think I really do.
Sleep it off?
I think I slept it off. Like, slept
oh, my God.
Pain.
You were getting sleep at that age?
I mean, he wasn't at home yet. The time that I was having pain, like, real bad pain, was he wasn't even home yet, so I could sleep. But I was trying to manually pump, and I was trying to electronic, but I was up to the point where I was filling up, like, 12 ounces. Like, you know those little itty-bitty bottles that they were giving you that they gave you in the hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was filling, like, 12 of those at a time. So I was filling for, like, 12 because I had a lot of milk, and then all of a sudden I didn't have any, and I was like, oh, so that's just it. And I was like, well, and I tried the mother's milk. I tried to bring it back because I kind of wanted him to be this friend, but I was like, well, I'm just going to try this one thing, and if it doesn't come back, then it don't come back. He'll be fine. So,
So
I did that, but I know that a lot of people, like, you know, that was when I had to put him on formula, and
when you're breastfeeding, you have to breastfeed, like, every 2 hours or something.
Yeah, you have to keep doing it. Like, it's a process. It's like, if you don't just put them right there, like, if your baby doesn't latch on, like, it is a real big process. Cause you have
but,
to
I mean,
sit
you can't even get 2 hours of straight sleep, though, Jay.
I know. Well, I know. That's why I had to, like, really, like, once he got home, I really had to keep going because he ate, like, he was having, like, growth spurts, like, every so often. So I had to really, like, I was really trying to keep it going. So once he got home, he was eating a lot more than he was at the hospital. So he just and I didn't feed him, and I did not feed him until he stopped eating. But I was just trying to I was really trying to keep up with it, and I wasn't doing a very good job. But then all of a sudden, that's when my supply stopped, and I didn't have to worry about it. I was like, okay, because when you fill up a bottle and then they drink it, and then you have to refill it, and I'm like, ah. So I was really, I was like a milk machine. I was like, boom, boom, boom. Boom, feed them, boom, make another bottle, make another two bottles. Didn't have to get bottles to take out. So I was really going at it. I was doing a really good job for, a week, and then all of a sudden it was gone. So I was
isn't it weird, though, after you have the baby, that every time the baby starts to cry, your breasts leak? Did that happen to you?
Yeah. No, my breasts leak all the time. I've ran through so many nursing pads, it's not even funny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a trip. Whenever the baby started to cry, my breast would start leaking. It knew that he needed to be fed.
Oh, yeah, because the hormones inside you, they react.
That's so crazy.
The mother hormones, and you just react, and they all right, I got a job to do. Done. Your baby's taken care of.
That's so crazy, though, Jay.
I know, it is crazy, but I was really excited when 6 months hit, because then I was able, I immediately, as soon as he turned 6 months old, whatever month is in the middle of the year, whatever month it was, and then it was on the ninth. Yeah, it was March, whatever month he was 6 months, I think it was October.
Month.
I'm going to say October 9th, I went out and I bought string peas. I bought string mangoes and some bananas, and I bought a lot of bananas, and I gave it to him, and he ate it like a champ. He didn't, there was no spitting it out, there was no nothing, there was no taking it back. He was on pure food for the rest of his life, and then he was able, until he was able to, start, and then I think around 9 months, I started trying to give him, actual solids.
Salad?
Solids, S-O-L-I-D. Solids. I tried to give him a whole. No, I was giving him pieces of little bananas and they have those I don't know if you have those little what are they? Those little containers with the puffs in them and the cheese puffs and all that. He's eating those as well. If there's anything that baby can do is eat, and he was eating little puffs. He's eating the cheese puffs, the little star little puff thingy.
Yeah, the little veggie puffs and fruit puffs.
Yeah.
Those little star ones are the little fruit puffs.
Yeah, they're
blueberry or strawberry or...
Yeah, they're and I tasted them. They're not that great, but you know.
They're not that bad, though. I mean, I don't like them. They don't have enough flavor in it for an adult to really like it, but as for a baby, I think it's got enough flavor in it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, how much flavor do you need as a child?
Right, because every flavor is new.
Right, but he's doing so good with that.
So we're at 6 months then. Well, while your baby was starting to eat at 6 months, let's see what these babies are supposed to be doing. All right, at 6 months, your baby should know familiar faces and begin to know if someone is a stranger. They like to play with others, especially parents, responds to other people's emotions and often seems happy, likes to look at themselves in the mirror, responds to sounds by making sounds, strings vowels together when babbling, and likes and likes taking turns with parent while making sounds, responds to their own name, they make sounds to show joy and displeasure, begins to say consonant sounds, jabbering with an M or a B, they look around at things nearby, they bring things to their mouth, shows curiosity about things and tries to get things that are out of reach, begins to pass things from one hand to another, rolls over in both directions, front to back, back to front, begins to sit without support, when standing, supports weight on legs and might bounce, and rocks back and forth, sometimes crawling backward before moving forward. I've always seen kids do that, crawl backward, but my son's never did.
I've seen it on camera. My son went forward.
Did he crawl backwards?
No, he went forward. I've only seen kids crawl backwards on YouTube. So I've never seen anybody in real life crawl backwards.
you haven't. It's really funny looking. It's very strange to see someone crawl backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't think it happens that often. It probably happens more often than I think it does. So, but you said crawl backwards, forwards, right?
Yeah, he crawled forwards. So
yeah,
well,
that's pretty
we're on to the fun stage, which is 9 months. I think, for me, 9 months is when all the fun stuff started. At 9 months, they may be afraid of strangers. They may be clingy with familiar adults. Yeah, that's when the clinginess all starts. That's not fun. they have their favorite toys. They understand no, but they just don't follow it. That's my little add-in. Makes a lot of different sounds like ma, 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 and ba, 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 ba. Copy sounds and gestures of others. They use fingers to point at things. Watches the path of something as it falls. Looks for things he sees you hide. Plays peekaboo. Puts things in their mouth. Moves things freely from one hand to the other. Picks up things like cereal O's between thumb and index finger. Stands holding on. Can get into sitting position. Sits with support. Without support, excuse me, pulls to stand and crawls. So they say at 9 months they started crawling, so our guys started early.
Yeah, no, he didn't start getting clingy until, like, closer to 12 months, or closer to, like, in between 12 months.
You might not have noticed it because you're with him all the time. That's what I always felt like. I'm like, I'm with him so much, he's never going to have time to miss me.
Right. Yeah, I think that was what it was. But even then now, like, we don't, like, you know, I take him to the babysitter and I go to work and he doesn't even miss me. Like, he tells me bye, mommy, and they try to close the door on me. Like, doesn't even give me kisses or hugs, but he's not even clingy now. Like, I think we did miss that. I think you're right. Like, I think we were together so long that we didn't have to deal with it.
Well, I know now that you're working. Is it hard? Does he have trouble leaving you?
No, not at all. He just closes the door on me and say, bye, mommy. See you later. And then closes the door.
You're lucky. My son, my youngest, he is so clingy. He is definitely a mama's boy. He doesn't want anybody but mommy or his DDoS. He's really close to my dad, too. But he's, like, so clingy. When he goes to the babysitter, he has to be bribed to let me leave when I drop him off. And when he comes home from the babysitter, he just wants mommy. He's got to have his mommy time before he plays or does anything else.
Aww.
He's got to sit up on my lap.
I think the grass is, like, the grass tends to be greener on the other side because I'm like, I wish he missed me that much. Like, he's already to the point where he's, like, putting himself to sleep. Because, like, the other day, I walked in, I was telling my mother something, and the conversation got a little long between me and her. And I go, okay, well, let me go make sure he gets to bed first, and then we'll continue the conversation. So I go upstairs, and he knows how to use the remote. So he turns the TV off, and he's already in his bed. And he's like, all right, night, night, mommy. Yeah, he's, like, at the point where he's putting himself to sleep now. And he's like, all right, night, night, mommy. Yeah, he's like, all right, night, night, mommy. And I was like, oh, really? Oh, so you're putting yourself to sleep. I'm just going to go ahead and turn this light out, if you don't mind. He's like, no,
turn
the light out.
The grass is greener on your side, baby.
The grass is greener on your side because he doesn't want to cuddle with me. Like, when I tell him, give me a kiss, he goes, no, and then runs away. And he's like, no, I don't want it. I don't want it kissed. Don't kiss it, mommy. And I'm like, what is,
aww,
can I get some love? Can you make me feel like I'm loved, please? And he's like, no, mommy, go away. And I'm like, baby, that's not even nice. And he's like, okay, I'm sorry. And I'm like, okay. And then he still doesn't give me a hug or kiss. Like, he runs away. So the grass is greener on your side.
I get more loving, but I also get more crap.
True.
I just get more, period.
yeah, you're the winner.
Nah, not always. It's difficult. No. Like, I can't even just put him in the bed and say, all right, go to sleep, and walk out. I have to stay in there with him until he goes to sleep. He won't go to sleep.
I'll go to sleep, and I finish it. I think I started leaving Xavier alone, like, this year. Like, I started, like, turning out the light for him, like, turning out the light and having him sit in his bed. And he has, like, he has the bumpers on his bed, but we're about to take those off. Like, I just leave him in there. I'm like, okay, Xavier, you need to lay down. You need to go to sleep. It's your bedtime. It's time for you to sleep now. You need to go to bed. Now, give me a hug, give me a kiss, high five, whatever it is he's feeling at that time, and I turn out all the lights so he can't see. And sometimes it doesn't work. Like, sometimes he'll find his way out and find his way back to me, but then other times he'll actually, like, tonight he went straight to sleep. I told him, don't move, don't go anywhere, watch TV, like, so I could do the show. And he was like, okay, Mommy, I love you, bye. And he's probably asleep in my bed now, but he's like, you know, so he's, I started out when he, like, turned about one and a half. I mean, I started out when he was about one and a half, almost two. So I started, like, because I had the playpen, so I was putting him in there, and I was like, okay, go to sleep, and he was like, okay, fine, and then he went to sleep. So, and I had to start doing that because I was like, we started, like, not sleeping together when he turned two. Like, he got in his own, because I co-slept for, like, the longest. And then there was one night where I didn't sleep with him, and I couldn't adjust back to sleeping with him anymore. Because before, it was, like, get kicked in my bed, push me over to the edge of the bed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was all that type thing. And then all of a sudden, like, then he slept in his own bed, and then it was, like, it was over for us. Like, I was like, I can't do this. I can't even sleep. I need to get sleep. You have to go in your own bed. And he understood, and he did exactly that. And we're doing good as of today.
Yeah, my son is all over the place. He, like, rolls around. He rolls sideways. He's got his feet in my stomach. My older son did the same thing. He would take his toes and knead them in my stomach in the middle of the night. And I swear to God, that would hurt so bad. I would wake up like, what the hell? Now my baby is doing the same things, and it's just like I got used to it. I just sleep. Yeah. I just sleep right through it now. Unless, like, sometimes he'll kick me in my face.
Okay, we just got a message from our baby. I'm not doing that. So he needs his toes, like, he moves, like you're kneading bread. Like, you're doing bread, like that.
Yeah,
kind of
he, like, kneads my stomach like he's kneading bread, but with his toes.
Oh, that would tickle me. Like, you must not be ticklish, because I am.
No,
like,
it would not tickle you. Ticklish. It would feel like somebody shoving their toes into your stomach over and over again.
Maybe not. Hopefully not.
It was not cool.
Baby's only thing is that he would push me over to the edge of the bed. And, okay, that's a better question. Okay, so our producer is asking, why won't some kids stop crying ever? Well, Mr. Producer, I don't know the answer to that question. Miss P, do you know the answer to that question?
I mean, there could be so many questions. There could be so many answers to that.
I only have one. The one, I don't know what kids he's referring to, but I do know that some kids are diagnosed with colic acid or something like that. It's some kind of, like, it's a mysterious, I did a lot of research on this when I was pregnant because I was,
my son
so,
had
that
it.
Was, yeah, that was one of the worst fears of mine, was that my son was going to have colic and I was going to lose my mind, because I knew I wasn't strong enough to deal with that. But
yes, my oldest son, he didn't have colic. He had gastroesophageal reflux disorder, so where every time he ate, he would throw up. So that was fun. And then my youngest had colic, which was absolutely just the most terrible thing I can even explain to you. I mean, we went through, my mom and I, trying to get him to stop crying, went through many a nights putting him on the dryer to where the shaking would put him to sleep, you know, putting him on the washing machine for the shaking and the warmth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just a nightmare. Nothing would ever get him to stop crying. So, yes, I like your answer. Colic is definitely why babies never stop crying.
Yeah, that was the only thing that I could really think of when he asked that question was, like, some babies are colic, and they literally, there's nothing to help them. And they don't have any, like, I wish they would come up with a cure, but they don't even know what causes it. Like, they haven't even figured out what causes it yet. So they have no cures, no, all they can do is tell us to put them on the washing machine, or I think there's something called, I think it was grape. I want to say it was grapeseed oil, but I don't think it was. But they were saying, like, to add, there's something out there, like colic drops. And you put them in.
Yeah, they have colic drops. We use those things. That's where we went through so many bottles of that colic drop stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It went on for about
4 or 5 months. Yeah, it does.
It
sounds like it lasts forever. Like
it feels like
it
lasts forever.
Yeah, when you say 4 or 5 months, you might as well 3 years. Because, I mean.
Yeah.
And even then, it still varies. Like, I know I've heard some stories where it varies. Like, some kids go longer, some kids grow out of it, but there's some kids that actually go to, like, 5 or 6 months. Like, they add on some months, and that is the most craziest thing I've ever heard of. Like, the fact that they don't have any cure, and they don't even know what caused, like, it would just make me, it would make me lose my mind. But the producer wants to know if there is a helmet you can cover them with. No, there's no such thing as a kid muzzle. He said, they don't have a helmet you can cover them with, at least to lower the crying. And no, there's no such thing as a human muzzle.
I think he's talking about breastfeeding.
While
they're breastfeeding.
I think that, wow, okay, so, no? For everybody that's wondering.
Oh, it is about crying, he says.
Oh.
It is about crying. No, there is no muzzle. You can't just shut off a kid with all his sounds in his own helmet. That's being
too many home economic classes.
Yeah,
buddy.
you're gonna be, like, in jail, buddy.
Yeah.
You try to do that.
No, okay, there's no such thing as a human helmet.
No, not for that, no.
Yes, that would make you unfit. That would make you. He's asking if that would make him unfit to put a helmet on him to lower the crying. It would totally land you.
So.
It would totally land you in parenting classes. Like, it's no such thing. You have to, if your kid is colic, like, you just have to sit there and ride through the storm. Like, there's no.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do. And
there's nothing you can do.
Through so many range of emotions. You go through the first emotion is you're so upset. You hate to see your baby crying, and it upsets you. Then you go to the frustration mode. Like, okay, I've done everything I could possibly do. What am I going to do? And then you get into the final stage is the why me stage. Like, why is this happening to me? I can't believe this. How come my baby has to have colic? You don't know what to do. There's nothing you can do. So all you have to do is sit there and let the baby cry. And there's nothing you can do about it.
There's been some days where Xavier has, like, I remember when he was younger and he was in his crying thing. Like, there had been some days. I remember one time where I was in the car with my boyfriend. We were in the car. We were going home from Applebee's, and Xavier was just screaming his head off. Now that, it was a thing where he didn't want to be rear facing. I think it was that time for me to change his seating position in the car, which
right.
is another milestone that everybody looks forward to. When can my child be forward facing? Which is the answer to that is the age of 2. After the age of 2, or whatever weight limit is on the car seat, which I forgot what it was, but after the age of 2 or whatever, if you reach the limit, I think the limit is like 30 pounds. For rear facing, so
yeah.
after 30 pounds, like, you face forward, or you can't face forward.
No,
I know
it's
people
less
that
than
are,
that, I think, because my son, he's only 25 pounds, and he turned around quite some time ago. I think
yeah.
it may be 25 pounds is what they
yeah,
do.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Well, you can then rear face or forward face. I hadn't forward face yet because I couldn't afford to get a new car seat at the time. So he was just screaming his head off. I mean, like, screaming bloody murder. Like, I might as well have been whooping his butt or something because he was screaming. And to the top of his lungs, I mean, hysterically screaming. So I can only imagine what a parent of a college child could be going through. Because, I mean, I can't remember. Like, it was taking us a little while to get home. Like, we were trying to make it so that
right.
we could get out of it. But he was just like, it was the worst. So I can only imagine what you went through. Like, and I feel like I have a lot of sympathy for college parents, everybody out there.
Yeah, it was definitely tough. It was definitely tough. Like I said,
imagine.
You go from the range of emotions. At first, it just breaks your heart, and then it just breaks you down. I mean, it's like, what do you do? Anyway, all right, so now we're at the one-year milestones. So a lot of big things come into play. For the one-year milestones, they're either shy or nervous with strangers. Cries when mom or dad leaves, has favorite things and favorite people, shows fear in some situations, hands you a book when he wants to hear a story. I like that one. Repeats sounds or actions to get attention, puts out arm or leg to help with dressing, makes things much easier, plays games such as peekaboo and pat a cake, responds to simple spoken requests, uses simple gestures like shaking head no or waving bye-bye, makes sounds with changes in tone, sounds more like speech, says mama and dada in exclamations such as uh-oh, tries to say words you say, explores things in different ways like shaking, banging, throwing, finds hidden things easily, looks at the right picture or thing when it's named, copies gestures, starts to use things correctly, for example, drinks from a cup or brushes hair, bangs two things together, puts things in a container, takes things out of a container, lets things go without help, pokes with index finger, follows simple directions like pick up the toy. As far as for physical developments, they get to a sitting position without help, pulls to a stand, walks holding on to furniture, which is also known as cruising, may take a few steps without holding on, may stand alone. So I don't know about you, but my son was walking at one.
Full-fledged walking was about one. He had been, like, crawling for the longest and kind of, like, walking with assistance by the age of, like, 10, 11 months. So he was full-fledged walking by the age of one. And then after that, like, that lasted, like, a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden he took off and just ran everywhere.
Yeah, that's mine.
Like,
he never really
went
through the cruising stage.
Yeah, I don't even remember him just walking. Like, he just ran everywhere.
Yeah, he never went through that stage where, like, they hold on to stuff and walk. He just went straight to walking. I remember, like, the first day that we ever really, you know, he had been trying to stand up, and he had pulled up and stood up next to stuff. And he might have done a little tiny bit of walking around the furniture. But when he started that, I'm like, well, let's see if you can walk. And I just held him out in the middle of the floor, and I let go of his fingers, and he walked to his dad. So,
aww.
I was like, you did it.
That was a great feeling, wasn't it?
Yes, it was awesome.
How did you feel? Like, you felt accomplished? I felt like I said, I didn't even have time to enjoy him walking. Like, because after he pulled himself and learned how to take some steps, off he went. Like it was like, pull up the flag because this is a horse. This is pulling the flag because it's horse races. Like, I can't even for this day, like, I'm like, when has he ever just cruised? Like, no, he just walked for a little bit, and then he took off. Everything I can remember, he was just running for him. So I don't even remember, but I do know that once he did start walking, it made me feel like I was doing something right as a parent. Like, all of these and I think that's funny, that's the funny thing about all these milestones is that when your baby hits that milestone, like, you get that little tiny feeling like, yes, I'm doing something right. I am a damn good parent, like, because my child did this. And you get super excited. I remember calling everybody, telling them, my grandmother, my uncle, like, I remember calling everybody, hey, baby just did this. And, like, it wasn't like a rubbing in your face type thing, but it was just like, I'm so happy. Because
yeah.
I'm doing good. Because I think, like, as a first-time mom, like, we tend to doubt ourselves so hard. Like, I think first-time moms put it so hard. I think they give themselves the roughest times. And I know that I gave my – I still, to this day, give myself a rough time because I'm – I mean, I'm having trouble potty training. Like, I'm still, like, am I failing my child as a parent? So I think that once your child accomplishes something, that's the greatest feeling in the world because you feel like I'm doing something right. Like,
yeah,
I did something
I feel like
right to make him be able to do that.
I feel like, you know, when my kids started setting those milestones, hitting those milestones, I felt like a little sigh of relief, like, okay, they're on track, everything's fine. Because it's hard when they're children that young, you know, they can't tell you anything that's wrong with them. You have to just, you know, figure it out. And they're learning to do everything at one time, so you really aren't sure, you know, at first what they're supposed to be doing or if this is normal or, you know, if they're behind. And so I know my youngest, he was behind a little bit, like on talking. He was a little behind. And I was so afraid that, you know, I even went to the point where I contacted this place that deals with kids who have behaviorals, they have speech delay. And I was going to have him tested. Well, before I made the appointment and before I could get there, miraculously, he started saying everything under the sun.
I feel like I know what place you're talking about because I remember one time in a store, this lady overstepped her boundaries like crazy, and it made me feel like it made my head go off like crazy because I was like, maybe I should call them. Like, I think I can't remember the name of the place, and I wish I could, but freaking lady told me, like, oh, he should be doing, like, is he not doing this right now? Well, maybe you want to give that person, these people a call and see if they can test your baby for, like, developmental delays. And
yeah.
I was totally cool about it. I was like, oh, yeah, thanks. I'll give him a call soon. Like, thank you for the number. And
I would have been like, this is not your place. How dare you say something about
my child? My mother actually did that for me, and then the lady, like, turned it around. She was like, oh, no, she asked me for the number. Like, she came up, like, I initiated the conversation. I was like,
why would you randomly ask some lady for the number about your child?
I don't know. My mom was like, I don't even know where she went. Like, she got it. Like, cause she's scared. Like, she must have been scared because me and my mom, I wasn't even in my, because like I said, like, in my mind, I immediately started to freak out. I was like, maybe I, like, because, you know, she was like, oh, yeah, no. You know, like, she's kind of, like, putting it into my head that something was wrong, and I, like, fell for it, basically.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and then my mom went back up to her, and then that's when she told her, like, I initiated a conversation, and then, like, after that, we couldn't find her anymore, because I kind of snapped back into reality. I was like, wait a minute. But, I did freak out, because they didn't start talking until, like, now he's, like, saying full sentences and asking questions and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and he's just not being able to make full, complete sentences, but back then, it was a couple of, I want to say 18, like between 18 months and 24 months, he was like, he wasn't really talking, you know, he
right.
was saying like juice or, you know, one word sentences.
Right, exactly.
And it was only what he wanted at the time. Like, it wasn't like random questions like he does now. Now he asks me, what time does the bus come? What you doing, mommy? Can I have, you know, I'm trying to instill some manners in him, so he's like, can I
right.
have juice, please? You know, he's like, now he's starting to develop a lot more, so, but it was like, at that time, at that moment in time, like, I was like, shouldn't you be talking by now?
Like, yeah, it was weird. Like, with me, you know, my older son, I used to compare the two, and I'd be like, well, Gianni's not, you know, talking yet. He should be talking. Sebastian was talking, you know, at this age, and he wasn't, and it really scared me, and I finally learned that they're both two totally different kids. I mean, they're completely different, and you can't judge one child from the other. It's not fair, and it sets high expectations where they don't need to be so high.
Right.
I mean, my oldest, he learned a lot of stuff early. He was progressing early. He hit those milestones early. I mean, by the time he was 15 months, he could tell you anything you wanted to know. And now I really truly realize that, hey, you know, he'd be, you know, it'd be too hard and too scary for me to sit there and put him up against my youngest against my oldest, because he's probably not going to measure up. Because the simple fact is, you know, my oldest was ahead of the grade, you know.
Yeah.
And I can't do that.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to. That's why I stopped at the beginning of the show. Like, just know, like, every mother knows their child. Like, you know both of your children. I know who Xavier is. I know if there's something wrong. Like, and I think that is like the worst thing that can really happen, is that people make you feel like there's something wrong. And that's why I wanted to make sure that people knew that if there was something wrong with, like, if there was something really wrong, and they felt like something was really wrong, and they needed to go to a pediatrician. But, like, I think that, like, even with these developmental charts, like, I think when I was pregnant, like, I was freaking out because I was like, I don't know, you know, I don't know if he's going to be able to do these things. But then it took a lot for me to realize, like, okay, you know your child. You know if something's wrong. Like, right now, even right now with the milestone I'm trying to pass now, potty training, I have to really instill inside myself that he is probably different from all the other kids. He's different from the little two-year-old that I know that's on the potty now, like that she's going every night. He's different from the three-year-old that I know that is making it through the night without wearing training pants. Like, every child.
Potty training is definitely always totally different.
Yeah, it's totally different. But that's for, like, everything. That's for talking. Like, you know, there might be a kid that's not really on Xavier's level, but there might be a kid that's saying full-blown everything, like, can have a whole conversation. Like, I know that my nephew is more fun, and, like, I think everybody likes to compare them to because they're close in age. My nephew's almost three, though. Like, they're not that close in age, but they're close enough. So I think everybody likes to compare them to, and, you know, Xavier's just now turning two. He just turned two in March. So he's halfway there, but my nephew is about to turn three. So while my nephew is sitting there having, like, conversations, like, real conversations with you, he's 3 years old. Xavier's only two, so he's having limited conversations. So he's, you know, he's like, what you doing? And sometimes he'll ask the same question over and over again. Sometimes he'll just say random stuff, like, that doesn't really make sense. Like, what time does the bus come? We're not getting on a bus, so I just, you know, I don't really care. I'll just give him a random time. I'll be like, oh, the bus comes at 6 o'clock, and knowing that it's, like, 9 o'clock.
Right.
But that's what he likes to do. That's where his vocabulary is. So I just want to stress out to all those mothers that you know your child. You know if your child did something wrong. Like, only you know. The pediatrician doesn't know. The neighbor down the street doesn't know. Like, I don't know. Miss Behave doesn't know. Like, nobody knows if there's something wrong. So you need to really tune into your mother instincts and know if there's something wrong with your child. If there's not, leave him be. Let him sit there and ask the same question over and over again. At least he's interacting. Like, that's just what it is. Everybody has to really realize that.
That's true. With that being said, it's time for our break. So we'll see y'all in about 15 minutes.
I'm the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. I was winning then, I'ma win later than win again. Cause I'm the hells and the heavens, the peasants and the kings. The presence that I bring beyond the measures of your dreams. Cause I'm the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. I was winning then, I'ma win later than win again. Cause I'm the hells and the heavens, the peasants and the kings. The presence that I bring beyond the measures of your dreams. Ain't no one messing with me, I go hard with every breath that I breathe. Destined to be, resting in peace. But while I'm here, I'm causing wreck on these streets. I don't recognize the kind. That means we never can speak. I leverage with mental telepathy that will cause your mental to hemorrhage and leak. Your perspective is bleak and grim. Meet your death, the grim reaper's in. You made your bed good. That's the same bed you'll be sleeping in. Deeper than the jungles of Congo. Pull my card, I trump like Donald. You ain't balling, you stuffing tackles. Frontin' like you dumping bottles. Humping like dogs, cuffing anything walking, saying you fucking models. I pushed your head like a fucking owl. Judge a book by its cover. You don't have the capacity to read this fucking novel. I owe you, I don't fuck with vowels. You must have lost your mind. You can't see me, you all are blind. Fall in line, it's flawless crime. When I'm gone, that's when y'all can start to shine. Start to shine. Fall in line, then I'ma win later, then win again. I'm the Alpha I was winning then, I'ma win later than win again.
Cause I'm the hell in the heavens, the peasants and the kings, the presence that I bring beyond the measures of your dreams.
Cause I'm the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. I was winning then, I'ma win later than win again.
Cause I'm the hell in the heavens, the peasants and the kings, the presence that I bring beyond the measures of your dreams.
Times are changing, signs of Satan rises, blazing. Find a place to hide your face in the safest place you can find in the basement, away from the eyes of Jason. Every line is amazing. Top five, I'm one, you should be nominated. Cause I'm one that's dominating. I need those diamond bracelets with flawless crime engravings. Round the ocean, the skies are caving, shaking the ground when I step. If the nines is blazing and the flagrant foul ain't enough, then I'm taking them down with a tech, making them brown with a wet. Your whole town is a wreck, jewels weighing a couple pounds on my neck. What you saying? I ain't giving these clowns no respect, especially when I'm the one that's sounding the best. They feel me the same way they feel they heart pounding their chest. Out of my strength, but I'm the last surviving. Ask the Mayans, pastors crying, baptizing, but no one's finding the path to Zion. It's heat, y'all can't deny him. You cats wanna attack a lion? I flash and smash your eyes and spill your guts, then laugh at you dying. Anyone saying they better than me, that motherfucking bastard's lying. Always been small, so I'd have mastered how to trap a giant. Take out his feet from beneath where his knees is. Watch him fall like the season, crawl like he fiending, hit him in the gut. Watch him ball into a fetus, I'm appalled at your weakness. Can't even talk to you, I'm speechless. But I go off of bars when a beat hits. How often do you see this? Someone's so sick, and y'all just coughing and wheezing. The illest artist in the region is the author that is reading. And I publish through the mic, I'm fucking up your life. I shine so hard, I'm fucking up your sight. Can't you see the champ is me? You don't stand a chance with me. I am a beast and stand tall wherever I plant my feet. Blame my vanity, and maybe it's my crazy sanity. The way I get off killing you kids, like Casey Anthony. You all my daughters and sons. Now I'm on family, I gotta slaughter for fun, just to teach a lesson about what flawless is. One, one.
My hair, my shape, my shoes, my bag, my clothes, my swag. Can't fly how you wanna, get money how you wanna, do what you wanna, when you wanna, how you wanna. Nail, face, hair, shape, shoes, bag, clothes, swag. Work hard so we can, party all night long, no sleeping. Saturday we drinkin', Sunday go to church, see the weekend. So I'm ready to go. When I hit the scene, it's a fashion show. Hatin' that bitch, waitin' at the dough. Mad cause they got bi-weekly dough. Whoa, I don't want no trouble, I just came to get my party on right. And two right there, looking good, so I'm single for the night. Diddy bop, then two steps. One more drink, then I'll be too wet. And it's on like that. Tell him to my phone right back. My nails, my face, my hair, my shape, my shoes, my bag, my clothes, my swag. Get fly how you wanna, get money how you wanna, do what you wanna, when you wanna, how you wanna. What he said, she ain't doing what I'm doing on my heat day. And I ain't talking about a heat day. I'm getting paid from Sunday to Sunday. That's how it's supposed to be. Michelle being everything close to me. Yeah, whoever staying close to me, gon' see how life is supposed to be. Bro. And it's on like that. Especially with my phone like that. Like that. We can party all night if they're trying to start a fight. Right. Tell them go and bring my phone right back. Right back. My nails, my face, my hair, my shape, my shoes, my bag, my clothes, my swag. Get fly how you wanna, get money how you wanna, do what you wanna, when you wanna, how you wanna.
All right, guys, we're back from break. Tonight we're talking about developmental milestones. Does your child measure up? We're down to the 18.
Wait, do you want another break song?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I completely forgot that fast.
That was like literally 5 seconds.
I know.
Well, before she goes in, let me just tell you guys that the break songs that you just heard were, the first one was J-Heat with Alpha Omega. Oh, gosh, Omega. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. And the second song was Shelby Raw by, Shelby Raw, and it was called How You Want Them. So those were your two break songs today. Cut them short because we want to cut down on time, so that's why you guys only heard two songs. So go ahead, Misty.
Sorry. Okay.
You're good.
So we're down to the 18-month milestone stage. At 18 months, your child should like to hand things to others as play, may have temper tantrums, may be afraid of strangers, shows affection to familiar people, plays simple pretend, such as feeding a doll, may cling to caregivers in new situations, points to show others something interesting, explores alone but with parent close by, says several single words, says and shakes head no, points to show someone what he wants, knows what ordinary things are for example, telephone, brush, spoon, points to get the attention of others, shows interest in a doll or stuffed animal by pretending to feed it. Didn't he already say that? Points to one body part, scribbles on his own, can follow one-step verbal commands without any gestures, for example, sits when you say sit down, walks alone, may walk up steps and run, pulls toys while walking, can help undress themselves, drinks from a cup and eats with a spoon. So
gosh,
I don't know about you, but eating with a spoon is definitely an experience in itself.
Eating
I can't
with
tell
spoon
you.
Is so much fun. Like trying to teach. Well, I don't know, but it was fun for me. Like, it was a lot more fun because, you know what, when we bought our new house, the realtor had gave us, like, she bought over a whole bunch of stuff for Xavier, and she bought us a little table, like a little eating table. So he actually, like, kind of learned how to do it on his own by watching me. So every morning we would sit down, I would make him, like, a little bowl of dry cereal, and I would have cereal, and I would be like, okay, hold it like this and eat it like that. Like, for that, you have to remember, like, to not put clothes on. Like, everybody's got to be, like, he's got to be, your kid has to be completely without clothes, like, in a diaper, if you're going to be teaching how to use utensils. Because
yeah.
I think a lot of people make mistakes by leaving their shirts on. And then while they're trying to learn how to eat properly, like, they'll give them, like, spaghetti. Like, I know infinite times, like, and I still make that mistake, like, infinite times he's been eating, like, raviolis or something like that, and he's still got his, like, his clothes that we're about to leave in, and he's got spaghetti all over himself. So now I got to pick out a whole nother outfit and get him dressed and everything. So for that, you just got to remember and keep them naked and give them their own space. So, I mean, that's what helped for me, and he's still learning. He still hasn't got it down pat, but I think if I give him a table and I give him his own thing, he'll turn around and say, well, look at me, and then do the same thing that I do. But at the age of 18 months, he really wasn't doing well. Like, I was still kind of feeding him, or I was giving him finger foods when he was 18 months. So,
I mean,
finger foods.
My youngest, he's two, and I still feed him most of the time because I'm so anal about having stuff everywhere.
I can't
deal with it. I mean, I let him feed himself on stuff that's not really messy. But
if
it's super messy, I'm not down with it. As long as he knows how to eat with a spoon, I'm cool with that. But he needs to get more experience with it before we graduate to feeding himself spaghetti.
No, that's baby too. Even though he is 2 years old now, like, he still needs help. Like, I'll still feed him every once in a while, but most of the time when it's time to eat, like, depending on what we're eating, he's down to a diaper and he's, like, eating on a table.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, it's just the way of the world. Like, you gotta, you know, it's just the way of the world.
But as far as that other stuff, pointing to body parts, like he was pointing out his eyes, ears, and nose and mouth by the age of 18 months. Like, he knew his whole face by the age of 18
yeah.
months.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
I think he had, like, one body part. He knew, like, four. So he's doing pretty good with that. He's known a lot of stuff by the age of 18. I don't know about all that pretending. I know he's too busy copying me to pretend.
Maybe my son pretends a lot.
I wish he did pretend. That would be cool.
He does. He pretends a lot. Like, he'll, you know, push his little bus around and say, I'm going to school. Or he'll, you know, be riding his little bicycle, say he's going to work. He'll pick up the phone and talk to people that aren't there. You know, and I'll ask him what they say, and he'll give me whole conversations of what they said.
That sounds adorable.
It is very cute. He's my baby.
No, you know what? No, as far as pretending goes, like, maybe he does pretend. I don't know if he pretended when he was 18 months, but he does pretend. Like I gave him his own little phone, and he does pretend like he's on the phone because he sees me on the phone so much. So it's like he is now on the phone all the time too.
Yeah, my son will pick up his phone, and he'll go, "This is she."
So he's got the whole thing down, Ty.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
my goodness.
His baby goes, "Hello, what you doing? Can you hear me?"
Yeah.
Like, he's all over. He's all over. He sounds just like me too. It's hilarious.
They
like, do I sound like that? Yeah, I'm like, do I sound like that when I talk on the phone? But yeah, then it was funny because he told my mom, like, whenever my mom's on the phone, like, I'll let her talk to him, and she'll go, "What are you doing, Xavier?" And he'll tell her, "I'm working." Like, he'll tell her she's working because she tells him she's working.
Exactly.
So, it's hilarious.
So, our co-host, Tay, he's not on right now, but he sent us a message. He wants to know, well, what happens when kids start repeating bad words? Well, from my experience, I'm still in that experience right now. My son will drop stuff and say shit. He will, oh, yeah, he says pretty much everything except for GD and F at times. And he'll say damn it or shit and... It really, it's not funny, but I kind of have to hide myself and giggle because he'll say it at the most appropriate times.
Right.
You know, like he'll drop something and he'll say shit. Or, you know, it's just like, yeah, he knows exactly when to say it. And the way he says it is perfect, the perfect tone. But, you know, the basic thing, the only thing you can do when kids start saying bad words is to obviously tell them not to say that anymore and have a consequence for it. I put mine in time out. And also stop saying those words around your children. That is the main thing that you can do. And I know it's hard because as someone like myself who cusses a lot, it's hard to first stop and start saying something else or catch yourself when you're cussing. And I still cuss sometimes. I still don't catch myself. Like, for instance, if I stub my toe or something, I automatically, like, shit or damn it. You know, I don't, you know, have that filter where, unless I'm really thinking about it, but
I mean,
that's the best thing you can do. Yeah, I'm still a human being. I make mistakes.
Yeah. And for me, what I do is I tell him, don't say that anymore. If you say that, I'm just spanking him because I give him, like, a little tap on the hand or whatever, and he knows better, you know. That'll let him know, okay, don't say that. And see, Zadie's really, like, Zadie's like a hall monitor. Like, he knows, now he knows all the bad words. Like, he didn't say all of them. Like, he said GD once, and he said fuck twice, and
oh, man.
I don't know. Yeah, he said those two. I don't think he said every word there is, but he said those two. I remember my mom telling me, like, one time I was coming out of work, and he saw me, and he was like, oh, fuck. And then my mom, like, caught herself. She didn't realize he said it, and then he said it again, like, because I opened up the door, and he said it again. So, like, we just tell him, don't say that. He said that again, I'm going to pop your hand, and you know, and then he kind of, like, he knows not to say that anymore. So now he's, like, now that he knows what not to say, now he's, like, you know, every once in a while he'll hear my mom say something or hear me say something, and he can tell by the tone. I think he can just tell by the tone what's not supposed to be said. So he's, like, oh, Gaga don't say that, or Mommy don't say that. And then we have to say sorry, and then he's okay. So he's like, a little, like, faint now, but before it was, like, every now and then. See, when he first started actually talking, like, I actually cut myself off from cussing. And every once in a while, I'll flip or whatever. But I think that most of the words that he learned from other people around me. And everybody really, like, after he really got good at talking, everybody realized, okay, we all have to stop cussing. Like, we all have to stop it. So, and I was like, well, I don't do it anymore, so y'all got to stop cussing.
His thing now is shut up, and I hate that. I don't know where he gets it from, but that's his thing now is shut up, telling everybody to shut up. And that pisses me off more than if he would say shit. Because he'll walk around telling me to shut up, telling his brother to shut up, telling my parents to shut up, and it's so inappropriate and rude.
Sorry, is he, like, not picking up that he can't say that? Like, he's not allowed
to say that? No, he knows he can't. Now he'll go, shut up.
He just says it anyway.
He'll go like
this. Now he just says it anyway.
He'll go like this, shut up.
You think that's going to get him out of it? Like,
yeah, like he'll start to say it and then he won't finish it, but he'll make sure you know what it means to see if he's still going to get in trouble. He'll, like, test the boundaries. He'll go, shut up. Just like,
oh, my God.
And he won't say the up. He'll just say, He is a bad little guy.
There's just something else, these kids. Well, we actually have, like, I just missed it. Like, we had an off subject, a question about breastfeeding from Nizzy May. She said, did any of y'all get kicked out of a restaurant for breastfeeding? And I never breastfed. I just wanted to touch that. I didn't want to make it feel like we were ignoring her. But I never breastfed in public, so I've never gotten kicked out for it. But I do know people. I have seen stories where people have gotten kicked out of restaurants.
Well, let's hear it.
For breastfeeding in public, which I don't know how that happens because, you know, there's covers and stuff. Like, I know there's people that don't use the cover and they're so, you know, adamant on, you know, look at me, I'm breastfeeding, so, and
you know, I
like
waited tables for most of my life, and a lot of times women will come to me and ask me, can I take a chair into the bathroom? And I'm like, what? They're like, they want to go in there and take a chair and breastfeed, and they do.
It's such an intimate thing. Like, they're the better people because, I mean, I don't know how many stories I've seen about people just getting kicked out of the restaurant because they want to breastfeed without a cover. If I was breastfeeding, I think I would more than likely be pumping and taking it with me rather than breastfeeding in public. But of course, you don't have any. If you're just exclusively breastfeeding and your child is latching on, of course you don't have control over that. But because you know, people were saying that, like, if you use a bottle, then he starts to get accustomed to the bottle. I know people like to, you know, have them on the booth until, like, I guess a year or 6 months or whatever, however long they go. They like to keep them on their boobs so they don't use a bottle because they don't want them to get accustomed to using a bottle and then forget their boobs. So,
exactly.
I mean, I don't know. I just know that there's people that do get kicked out of restaurants for breastfeeding. There's this Bye Bye Baby has, like, a room where you can do that at. Like, it is so comfortable. Like, I went in there just to sit. I didn't even have a baby with me. And I went in there just to sit because it was so comfortable. Like, they got reclining chairs and everything. Like, they have it set up so that you can do that where you need to do it. You don't have to be in public.
Okay.
So,
well, we actually, we have a caller, Miss T. She's called into the show, and she's going to talk to us about breastfeeding.
Yay. Hello.
Hi, Miss T.
Hi.
So what do you have to add to this conversation about breastfeeding?
I am a breastfeeder, and I am one of those people who nurses in public. I don't really do it like, hey, look at me. Most of the time when I'm doing it, I really don't look at other people. so I will see the nasty stars they give me.
That's a good thing to do.
That's good.
But I do it. And as far as coloring, when she was a baby, I have a loving muscle. When she was a baby, I could cover. She's to the age where she don't want to cover over her face. So when am I supposed to
cover? Oh, wow.
Should I suffocate? It's like, no, but she won't take the bottle. I mean, like, not. I'm not asking you that question. But some people do feel that we should take the babies into the bathroom. It's like, would I go in the bathroom and eat my food?
No.
No?
No. No.
Absolutely not. So how old is your daughter?
She's 11 months. She'll be one soon. And I really do want to stop breastfeeding, but for her, she don't. So when she'll stop or at what age I'll stop with her, I don't know. I want her to kind of wean herself. So I won't have to just take her from it.
Yeah, snatch it away from her. Why don't you try to transition to a pump?
I don't pump, but it's not the pump because she takes formula because I work. I hate pumping.
Really?
Yeah.
I did it in the beginning.
I do not
like pumping at all. I don't know what it is about it.
So bad, it hurts like crazy. Cause like if you do the manual pump, like you don't like you know how much pressure you can take, but it's like you put the pressure on there and then you don't know like and then it's like for me like I would put pressure as much pressure as I could take and then but it wouldn't be enough. So I would end up if I did it to the pressure that I could take, it would be like you know I would never get finished. And then if I did it too hard, then it would really hurt. And then I would be sore for hours. So, like, I don't like pumping either. Pumping is not the way to go.
And
like,
it's not really the pain that pumping causes. I think it's time-consuming. I have to sit there. And I just don't know what it is. I don't know how to find it inconvenient, like an inconvenience. When she's not with me, she has the formula, so she's fine. So she really don't need the breast milk. But when she's with me, she really won't take a bowel. She'll dig her hand all down in my shirt. So embarrassing. But she does it. So, you know, at times I have to feed her. Now, the only time when I'll really cover is, like, if somebody's, like, really uncomfortable, if I'm in, like, a real small place, and then I'll just take one of my hands, since I don't have big boobs, and just put it right over side, you know, my extra part that's hanging out. She
yeah.
With her face.
Right.
But,
yeah. So what are your plans on trying to wean her? How do you think you're going to be able to do that?
I do not know. But I try to offer her the bowel. Like, we always have a bowel. So she'll take it sometimes. But, like, when I come in from work, she's automatically just reaching and pulling at me and pulling on my clothes. So I try to use the bowel as much. But she'd be, like, no, shaking her head. And, like, moving her face and pushing the bottle out of my hand, because that's not what she wants.
Right.
You know, that's like a bonding experience for both mothers. Like, that is probably the most intimate bonding experience you could ever have with a child. Like, then that's probably what she likes. I think it sounds like she likes to be really close to you. And when you're, like, you know, when you're at work, she doesn't have that. So she tries to get as much as she can. Like, I want my mommy. That's what it sounds like to me. I don't know. You know.
Yeah, I'm still kind of going through that myself. Like, my youngest son, you know, he's two. He doesn't take a bottle anywhere. Like, he'll be at the babysitter all day. He won't take a bottle. He won't do anything. But as soon as he gets home, he wants a bottle. It's like part of this bonding thing with me. And it's really hard to break him off of it because I know he doesn't need it because he doesn't have it all the other times during the day and night. He just needs to bond with me when he gets home. It's like a bonding thing.
Right. Now, Miss T, Tay is asking us right now. He's asking us to ask you if you've ever had a guy. He's asking if you've ever had a guy like stare at you or try to peep a sneak peek at your boobs while you're breastfeeding.
Like I said before, I don't watch people while I'm nursing most of the time. Like, I'll walk through the mall. I'm not looking for people to see their expression or to see if they're looking at me. So I wouldn't know.
Yeah, because that's just going to piss you off.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe.
especially,
I'm not looking, so I wouldn't know.
Right. I mean, I think especially in this time and age, like, where breastfeeding is such a controversial thing to do, Like, I don't even know why it's don't ask me why it's controversial, because I have no idea. But everybody's freaking out, either freaking out about it or advocating for it. Like, yeah, you know, breastfeeding is such a big thing now. And, like, if you guys, if you pay attention to what people are doing or saying, like, it's the worst.
Oh, is that her?
It is doing.
Yes, I'm trying to keep her quiet.
She's so cute. Like, I heard that. I'm like, aw.
She must hear y'all talking about her. But yes, it is, and it's becoming really big. But my oldest daughter is 7, she'll be 8 the beginning of next year, and I nursed her. But, like, even in the hospital this time, you know, they were kind of like, you know, I guess they were going to try to talk me into it and trying it, but I already had my mind made up as, you know, that's what I wanted to do. Like, now they kind of like want you to do it more.
Yeah.
But, you know, before when I had her, I just knew I was going to breastfeed her. So, you know, no one had to talk me into it, but I don't think anyone was trying either.
Right. Yeah, they try to talk you into it. They send in a breastfeeding specialist to help you with the first time, latching on and all that. Even if you don't request it, they still just send them.
Yeah. Right. And I think it's to each his own. Like, if you want to breastfeed, you breastfeed. If you want to bottle feed, you bottle feed. You do what's comfortable for you. If you want to cover, you cover. If you don't, I don't care. You don't. In my opinion, you don't have to.
Right.
It's, you know,
I think it just makes people, some people, uncomfortable, and I don't really know why, other than the fact that they're just nasty.
Yep.
You know, they just
you know, people in Europe, like, they want, like, people in Europe are big breastfeeders, like, they're big breastfeeders, like, they're bigger than America, freaking, they will, they egg you on, they do, they help you, but, like, they don't help you, but they want, like, people walk around breastfeeding all the time, and they don't even have a cup on, like, they pull up their shirt, they walk into the mall, they pull up their shirts and start breastfeeding, like, they're big breastfeeders over there, like, they do not care, they want you to breastfeed your children. Like, I've seen people comment all the time, like, why can't you guys just breastfeed and be happy? Like, why is this such a, like, you know, people are questioning us, questioning Americans, why is this such a big thing for you guys? Like, why are you guys creating this controversy? It's not that big. It's natural. It's what they do. Like, you should want them to do that. And, I mean, hey, I agree with them. You should want to breastfeed because, I mean, you know, breast milk, even though formula is perfectly fine, you know, they do. My child was always was formula fed, but, you know, I know that sometimes breast milk can have things that formula doesn't have. Sometimes formula has things that breast milk don't have. So it's just like, you know, whatever you need to do, you do it. And I agree. I totally agree with your opinions right now.
Yeah, like breast milk supposedly has a lot of, what is that stuff, ADA or ADA, HDA?
DHA. No, DHA.
DHA, okay. That's, you know, supposedly good for your child, and it helps them grow faster and be more healthy in life. And they say the effects of breastfeeding will last, you know, well into their teen years and maybe into adulthood, because it'll help them. They'll be quicker to grow. They'll be smarter. They'll be, you know, everything else that can be good about your child comes from breastfeeding, they say.
Right. They'll be healthier because a lot of our antibodies of different colds and things that we're fighting off, we're giving it to the child, so they already have it.
Yeah. Right.
So and that, you should want to do that. And me as a parent, like, I want to do that. I wanted baby, you know, I wanted my child to really have that stuff that, you know, and I think I was breastfed too for a little while. So, I mean, I probably already had that stuff, but my grandmother, it was funny because my grandmother, like, looked at my mother, like, she didn't look at it like she was gross, but, like, my grandmother's like, why are you giving that baby that milk? That baby don't want that milk. Like, she was freaking out, but my grandmother
really?
Was old school. Yeah, but well, my grandmother was, like, what, she's, like, 70, I think she'll be 70, I don't know, she's in her 70s this year. So she's, like, you know, so she was really old school, and back in her day, like, nobody breastfed in her age, day and age. And neither my
why? They already had any formula back then. Shit, what was she doing?
I have no idea. They just thought of, like, I think that she thinks of it, like, I think she, you know, her generation, my grandmother's generation is one of those generations that feels like the breasts are only for sexual activity only, like, no.
And that's what's wrong with the people out there today. That's what people look at people weird breastfeeding. It's like, can you get over yourself?
Right, because everybody's sexualizing it. But that's right. how my grandmother was. Everybody, like, even my mother was like, oh, I'm the first person, well, one of the first people in my family to breastfeed because I don't listen to what people tell me. It was like, oh, no, don't give them, yeah, okay, this is my child, I'm going to give her what I want. And I'm the first
right.
child in my family to breastfeed. My sister, you know, once I started, she was like, I wanted to breastfeed, but she was like, no, and grandma was like, no, and I was like, and you listen? Not
yeah,
me.
That's your child, yeah.
Right.
I mean, there really is no good reason for not wanting you to,
right.
you know, because it's better for
and
the
baby. And on top of that, it's free. Guys, breastfeeding is free, like, minus the pump. And the bottles, like, breastfeeding is completely free. Like, it comes in your body. And, I mean, if, unless you get, like, all those aids and stuff, like, breastfeeding is free.
Yeah.
Even now the insurance is helping you get breast pumps. So it's, the breast pump is sometimes free, depending on what insurance you have.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I remember them trying to see if my insurance, like, if I could, like, I remember the hospital, not my insurance, but the hospital was trying to see if they could rent, if I could rent a breast pump, like one of those motorized pumps. Like, they were trying to see if I could rent one, and it was like the way that the world is working, like, WIC is renting out breast pumps, and they have somebody in there to help you, like, to, if you have any concerns about it or anything, like, they have somebody specialized in WIC for you to go with all your concerns. They have them, and everybody in the hospital, I know when I gave birth, like, I think a couple of hours after I gave birth, like, after I got back into my room and I got settled, they had a lactation consultant come in my room.
Yeah.
And ask me, okay, so what do you want to do? How do you want to do this? You know, we made out a plan and everything. So they have resources for you to learn how to breastfeed and learn how to keep going after you leave the hospital. So I think that's really cool. That's a really positive thing that America has done, like, really make it so that you can. Because that might have been a problem back in the day when they didn't do that. It's like, you know, make it so you can't do. But they make it so you can do it, even when.
I think the covers are a really good invention for that. Because I think a lot of times if people can't see it, they're not really sure, like, is she breastfeeding or is she just putting the baby to sleep?
Right. There's actually two questions that we I'm going to ask this first one. Miss Behave and Miss T, when did you guys – Miss T, you said you had an older kid, right?
Yes.
Okay, so when did you guys break your kids off the bottle?
With my oldest daughter, I nursed her from the breast until she was 6 months. So by the time I actually got her to take the bottle, it was easier to transition her to the cup because she wasn't used to it.
Right.
So it was before she turned one that she wasn't even using a bottle anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My oldest, he stopped taking the bottle at 11 months. And my youngest, he stopped taking the bottle with the exception of that one afternoon bottle every day. He stopped taking the bottle when he was like 12 months, 1 year.
Well, my kid stopped taking the bottle after, he stopped taking the bottle when he turned one, and then he went from the bottle straight to a cup, to a regular cup, not even a sippy cup. He didn't even have a sippy cup, but he went straight to a regular cup, so, but I do give him sippy cups, like, if we're going out somewhere or something like that, like, and he still gets sippy cups now, but he likes to use a regular cup, like, he has his little Batman cup that he likes so much. That's his cup. So that was Tate said very impressive, Miss B, for your weaning off your child at one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good job.
And so that was the first question. The second question that we have is what should someone do if their child is two and a half, so almost three, and doesn't talk yet?
I would say definitely talk to your pediatrician.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
They have, you know, they scan stuff, and there's ways to find out. The main thing is, you know, they test for autism.
Right.
And
see if they're on a spectrum.
Yeah, exactly. So if, in my opinion, you would definitely talk
definitely
to your doctor.
Definitely go see your, that's my opinion too, go see your pediatrician because like Miss Sue said, they could be on the spectrum for autism. And even if it's not that serious, even if it's just a speech impairment.
There's actually, at the website I've been on, it's www.cdc.gov. And if you go to, they have a page called Visit, called If You're Concerned webpage. And it's all about, you know, if you're concerned about certain things your child is or isn't doing. There's also a 1-800 number you can call if you're concerned about your child's delays, and it's 1-800-CDC-INFO. It's 1-800-CDC-INFO. And you can talk to them about your concerns before you go to your pediatrician if you're kind of wondering if you should.
Right. Now, do you guys think, like, the nurse line would help, too? Because I know with my insurance, I have a nurse line. It's a 1-800 number I call 24 hours a day. And they, like, if baby's spiking a fever, but I don't know if I need to take them to an emergency room, I call that number, and they'll tell me everything I need to know. You think, like, one of those numbers would help, too?
Sure. Do you have it available?
Mine, I don't have it right on me, but I know that anybody who has insurance, like, can look on the back of their card. I don't know if all insurances give them out, but I know the ones that I've had experience with, or I know my mom has a different one than I do. She has Kaiser, so I know she gets on there, and she has a nurse line, too. But I think most insurances, if you look on the back of your insurance card, it should say something like nurse line, or even call the 1-800 number that they give you. They might have an extension for it. So,
exactly.
But that's like all insurance. I think that's pretty much all insurance. I haven't heard one that doesn't offer one yet. But, you know, it's good hurt to look into. So if you have insurance, look into it. See if you have a nurse line. And they can even tell you if you need to go.
Miss T.
Yeah.
Were you listening to the show before you came on?
I was listening to it. I was trying to listen to it, but I kind of got cut off a couple times. But I actually wanted to add about the 2-year-old. I have an adopted baby, and she's, I think, about to be 16 months. But because of the way that she was born, she's with a program called Infant and Toddler, and they are monitoring her from birth. Mm-hmm. They monitor her. So that's a good program, too. Is what I wanted to add. Even though, so far, infant and toddlers.
Infant and toddlers?
Yes. So far, you know, she's a man. Monitor her, and they, you know, stay with her just in case, you know, they can catch something that's going on, and, you know, they do little different things with her that she's supposed to be doing at her age, so they kind of monitor her. So that's a good program.
Okay. And the reason I asked you if you were on was I wonder if you heard what I was saying about my aunt.
No.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you as someone who breastfeeds. My aunt breastfeed her kid till they were 6 years old. And So what do you think about women who do that? This is promoted in the Lilichi League, which is like it's breastfeeding people. What do you think about that?
And it was also on the Time magazine too. You guys remember that issue that came out? It was like last year. There was an issue of Time magazine that came out. It had a lady that had it had a picture of a lady, and she had a 4-year-old, and he was breastfeeding in the picture. And that was when I really started to see the controversy in extending breastfeeding. That lady came out and said, I've been breastfeeding my son since he was 4 years old, or no, since he was 6 years old. I think he was old. He was really old. Like, he was, like, four to nine. Like, I can't really remember, but I remember, like, seeing that, and that's when everybody exploded with extended breastfeeding. Is it wrong or is it right? Miss T, go ahead.
For me, I think 6 is too old. For me, I think 6 is too old. I would never go that long. Like, for me, even, like, my cousin, she's going to tell 2. That's a little pushing it, in my opinion.
Right.
I wouldn't do it. But for her, I think, you know, 2 years old, that's not even really that bad. But once you start getting up there in at 3, 4, for me, that's too much. I'm not going to judge anyone that's doing it.
Unless I will.
You know, 5, 6.
I will. I will openly judge you if your 6-year-old is on your move
because
talking about mommy boo.
Mommy nummies.
I know. I know, you know, my best friend and, you know, my husband, and they're from Trinidad, so they all were breastfed until like 3 and 4. You know, so, you know, I guess it depends on where you come from, because some people, they just do that, and that's what they know. But for me, it's too old. Like, my 1-year-old, I'm like, when are you going to get off? Like, I really, it's like, I say, I want her to stop breastfeeding. I miss it like I miss school. You know, you couldn't wait to leave school, but then once you left, you missed
right.
it.
Yeah.
This is how I feel about breastfeeding. I'll miss it because, you know, we get to bond, and when I feed her, like, I have to hold her close to me. So I think that's what she really likes, but I can't wait
yeah.
to
I know you can't wait, but then you're going to be like, I want my baby back. I miss it.
I know, but it's 6 years old is too old. I think once they start going to school and...
Yeah. Can you imagine?
For me,
it's lunchtime and they pull out a they pull out some breast milk.
For me, like if I was breastfeeding, like I would have stopped completely at 2 years old. Like 2 years old would be like maybe even a little bit before then, probably like 18 months. I don't know. Like when you start talking, like that's when I would like cut it off, because that would be like, I don't know. That's just me. Like I don't think I would be able to really go any further than when he starts being able to say mommy and ask for what he wants.
I guess we had that opinion. I'm not sure how long the one who did breastfed for, but we make that opinion because we never made it to that. I think if, you know, like now, I didn't think I would be at 1 year old or, you know, pushing
right.
one. But, you know,
right.
now that I'm here, and I don't see anything wrong with it. So I think
exactly.
like, if we actually made it to that point, we probably would think it wasn't nothing wrong with it. But because
yeah,
we
right.
never made it there, it's like, no. Not
I think
yep.
after 2. I think anything after 2 is, like, taking it a little far. Like, even if it doesn't stop at 2, like, a little bit, anything, like, closer to 3 is, like, what are you doing? I'm busy to get on a sippy cup now. Like, let's grow. Anything after 3 is just, like, it's ridiculous. Cut it out. But,
I am a breastfeeder. Sorry, I am a breastfeeder, and I just was in Trinidad last month, and I was like, watch the little girl walk around and kill the bugs and everything, and I'm like, oh, how old is she? She's like, well, she's about to be 3. I turned around, and then I turned back around, and she was offering her breast. The baby
oh
was like latched on, and then she came back, and the breast milk was dripping down her lips, and my eyes got big.
Oh, oh my God.
That was scarred me for life. I was like, what just happened? Because I turned around and I turned back, and I was like, okay. And then I had to realize what was going on and then get comfortable with the situation. But immediately my eyes were just like,
oh,
oh
my
God.
She really comfortable with that.
That
no
is
mercy.
Terrible.
You have my permission. I am J Styles approving you not to be comfortable with that. Like, that was
no.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. Like, I'm trying to imagine it in my head. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I can't even with that. Did you guys hear the sound effect that just happened? That was pretty cool. I just heard a sound effect. That was pretty funny.
Yes.
But, God,
well,
I can't even. I can see someone. I'm like, oh.
Well, we're about to go
wow.
into Just the Facts with Misbehave. So I wanted to thank you, Miss T, for coming on the show, and we really appreciated your opinion and your stories. And we
you.
Hope to hear back from you soon.
You have to
all
come
right.
back, Miss T. Like, I heard you on the last Miss T, I heard you on the last show that you were on. You have to come back.
Yes.
We'll
Alrighty,
be doing some more mommy
night.
Shows in the future.
All righty.
All right. Thanks for coming on. All right. Bye-bye. Okay, guys, it's time for Just the Facts with Misbehave, me. Tonight we're talking about what is your child development and what skills do children develop at different ages. So what is child development? Child development is a process every child goes through. The process includes learning and mastering skills like sitting, walking, talking, skipping, and tying shoes. Children learn these skills, called developmental milestones, during predictable time periods.
Children develop skills in five main areas of development. Number one, cognitive development. This is the child's ability to learn and solve problems. For example, this includes a two-month-old baby learning to explore the environment with hands or eyes, or a five-year-old learning how to do simple math problems. Number two, social and emotional development. This is the child's ability to interact with others, including helping themselves and self-control. Examples of this type of development would include a six-week-old baby smiling, a 10-month-old baby waving bye-bye, or a five-year-old boy knowing how to take turns in games at school. Number three, speech and language development. This is the child's ability to both understand and use language. For example, this includes a 12-month-old baby saying his first words, a 2-year-old naming parts of her body, or a 5-year-old learning to say feet instead of foots. Number four, fine motor skills development. This is a child's ability to use small muscles, specifically their hands and fingers, to pick up small objects, hold a spoon, turn pages in a book, or use a crayon to draw. And number five, gross motor skill development. This is the child's ability to use large muscles. For example, a 6-month-old baby learning how to sit up with some support, a 12-month-old baby learns to pull up to a stand holding onto furniture, and a 5-year-old learns how to skip. What is a developmental milestone? A developmental milestone is a skill that a child acquires within a specific time frame. For instance, one developmental milestone is learning to walk. Most children learn this skill or developmental milestone between the ages of 9 and 15 months. Milestones develop in sequential fashion. This means that a child will need to develop some skills before he or she can develop new skills. For example, children must first learn to crawl and to pull up to a standing position before they are able to walk. Each milestone that a child acquires builds on the last milestone developed. What are typical milestones or skills children learn at different ages? We know that our brains are not fully developed at birth. In fact, a baby's brain weighs about 1/4 of what an adult's brain weighs. The brain grows very rapidly during the first several years of life. During this time, your child is learning all sorts of different skills. What if my child does not meet a developmental milestone? Each child is an individual and may meet developmental milestones a little earlier or later than his peers. You may have heard people say things like, he was walking before he turned 10 months, much earlier than his older brother, or she didn't say much until she was about 2 years old and then she talked a blue streak. This is because each child is unique and will develop at his or her own pace. However, there are definitely blocks of time when most children will meet a milestone. For example, children learn to walk any time between 9 and 15 months of age. So if your child is 13 months of age and not yet walking, there is no need to worry if he is crawling and pulling to a stand. He has acquired the skills he needs to learn to walk and may begin walking soon. However, if you have a child 15 months of age who is not yet walking, it would be a good idea to talk with your child's pediatrician to make sure there aren't any medical or developmental problems since 15 months is outside of the normal window or time frame in which children learn to walk. Whenever you have any questions, do not hesitate to ask a professional like your child's doctor, nurse practitioner, or a trained child development or behavioral specialist. There are also several clinical specialists who are specifically trained in various areas of development who can be consulted. These include speech pathologists, occupational and physical therapists, developmental psychologists, and audiologists. How can I help my child meet these developmental milestones? As parents, we want our children to succeed and be the best they can be. We know from research that two factors influence how your child succeeds and grows, genes and environment. One of the factors that influence our child's development is their genetic makeup, or genes. Some people refer to this as nature. Genes are the genetic material we pass on to our children. Children are born with their genes in place. These genes act like a blueprint for what characteristics a child may have. For example, genes determine if a child will have blue eyes or brown eyes. They also determine if he will be left or right-handed. The other factor that influences child development is the environment. This includes experiences children have in their home, school, and community environments. Some people refer to this as nurture. The environment can either improve or harm a child's genetic blueprint. For example, malnourished children who live in a third world country may not reach their IQ potential because of the impact of their environment on their brain's development. We often think we need to run out and buy special toys, music, and games to stimulate our child's development. But we have to remind ourselves that it is more important to provide the following everyday activities you can do with your child to encourage brain development. Give your child lots of love. No matter what child's age, holding, hugging, and listening are important ways to show your child they matter. Interact with your child by talking, singing, playing, eating, and reading with your child. Your child will grow up feeling special and important to you. You will also learn a lot about your child's interests and skills. Read, read, read. Research has shown that children who are read to by their parents have a larger vocabulary than other children. Reading also provides children with new perspectives about the world we live in. Learn some simple parenting skills for helping your child to learn how to behave. The most important parenting skills are having consistent rules, rewarding behaviors you want to see your child do more of, and having consequences for behaviors you do not want your child to continue to do. Limit TV time and video time to no more than 1 to 2 hours of educational viewing per day. Download an informational handout on supporting your child's development. Ask for help when you need it from your spouse, partner, family, friends, and your child's doctor or nurse practitioner. Parenting is wonderful, but it is not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
So like we were saying before, if you notice, there's big chunks of time where, you know, milestones are to be met. So don't freak out if your child isn't talking it too. You know, they have a bigger time window. If they're not talking by probably about 26, 27 months, I would start to wonder if I should contact somebody, a specialist, to see what's going on. But as far as for walking, I mean, my son started walking at 12 months. I was under the impression that that was a normal time. Well, it is one of the normal times. It actually can be 9 months to 15 months. So if your child isn't walking by 13 or 14 months, don't start worrying yet. It's not time for you to worry yet.
Right.
So we're going to close out the show. Jay, do you have any final thoughts on the topic?
I just once again want to say, like, know your child, know when there's something wrong, and don't freak out just because everybody's telling you this is supposed to happen. Like, just because they say it's supposed to happen doesn't mean it's supposed to happen. Like, your child just may be, let them be them. Like, if they're not ready to talk yet, they're not going to. And there's nothing that a pediatrician can do to make them talk. Like, they're going to do what they're going to do on their time. That's it.
All right. And go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think once us mothers get that in our head, like, we'll be fine. Everybody will be just fine. That's all.
Okay. And I guess just the one thing I wanted to say is that, you know, if you are concerned about your child meeting milestones, talk to your doctor. It's not going to hurt to talk to your doctor. I mean, there's no specific amount of time you should wait. If you have issues, talk to your doctor, at least to get a sense of should you be worried or are you just being, you know, too worried for nothing. With that said, I'm Misbehave.
And I'm Jay Styles.
And we're out. See you next Monday night at 9 p.m.
Yay.
You've been listening to It's Real Talk Radio with Tay Real and Nizzy Nay. Facebook us at It's Real Talk Radio. Tweet us at It's Real Radio MP.